we'll move on to 4.0, tabling of petitions. Are there any petitions to be tabled today? Second call for petitions. Third and final call for petitions. Hearing none. We will move on to 5.0, public question and comment session. I would ask members of the public gallery to limit their comments to 5 minutes, and please state your name and address. Leon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Leon Arbison, Common Street, Liverpool. First of all, I just wanted to mention the weekend with the South Shore Expo that you had over at Queen's Place. It appears that it was very successful from the number of people that were there, and it certainly should be a good economic driver for Queen's County, South Queen's in particular, and also for Queen's Place itself. And it's something that I think probably I've heard people talking that have been there, and they're looking forward to having another one down the road. Next, I'd like to mention under 13.1, you're going to give second reading or if it's approved for the vending bylaw. And I'm just wondering, just a question there with respect, if it receives second reading and approval today, from there on, then it goes to, it has to be advertised, and there's a certain period of time that the public can object to it or support it or whatever. And I'm just wondering, at what point in time would this become law?
I will ask our CAO, Richard McClellan, if he would respond to that question.
So, yes, so after second reading, if it's approved today, it does go through the notice period, I believe, before the end of the month that we come in.
In order for the bylaw to become active, I know it's a passing, it's supposed to be in paper, so once I know it's passed, the bylaw is effective.
Okay, I think the reason for that, mentioning that, is because vending, time for the vendors to get out and get busy is coming on very quickly. And I was just wondering if this was going to hold anything up, excuse me, as far as they were concerned.
It would not hold up existing vendors because they can still apply under the old vending bylaw.
They can use the old one. So just one final thing. I still have another minute, I think, for some reason. Under 9.2, the JMAC there, I was reading the information on that with respect to council CDL expenses and staff expenses and so on. My question here is, under the policies, I assume that it's outlined here what are legitimate expenses and what aren't. And I mean, they're not listed here in this, but I would assume in the policies and bylaws, it would be listed there as what is a legitimate expense for a counselor or for a staff member when they're at a conference or whatever.
Yes, that's correct, Leon. We do have a policy which controls expenses, and counselors and staff are expected to work within that bylaw and do, and certainly the information which is provided in the agenda package on expenses for the previous council for 2016 and the new council for the last portion of that fiscal year are provided, as was done in the previous year. The expenses were also provided to the public.
Great. I know there's been some, over the past year or so, there's been some press coverages, not just in this unit, but some of this units having some problems with legitimate expenses.
Yes, some are. Luckily, it's not the region of Queens.
That's what it says. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Any other member of the public gallery? Yes, Mabel, if you would.
Honorable Mayor, councillors, good morning. I'm here today representing the Privateers Farmers Market.
If I could, Mabel, would you please give your name
and
address?
Oh, I'm sorry. Mabel Lisneski, 34 Mersey Avenue. As a board member, I'm making a request that you do not include the market in the $200 a year vending fee that is being proposed in Bylaw 16. We are a very small market of 6 core vendors and never know how many vendors we will have until the week before the market opens. We operate only one day a week on Saturdays for 4 hours in Centennial Park. The market is not a threat to any business in the community. If anything, we are ambassadors to the businesses and Liverpool as a whole. We, when asked by visitors where they can go for a meal, where there is a pharmacy and a bank, the vendors gladly advise them. The market supports local. We buy our insurance in Liverpool rather than through the Nova Scotia Farmers Market Association. We support nonprofits by allowing them space for growth. Their association on market days and not include us as a food truck. We do not operate 7 days a week from 6:30 to 11:30 p.m. By increasing our current vending license fee from $75 to $200, it may be for hard for us to attract more vendors as a cost that will go up for them. Thank you.
Thank you, Mabel. Yes, if you would.
My name is Robin Johnston, and my address is 5763 Highway 208 North Brookfield. I'm here today as a member of the board of the Privateer Farmers Market and also as a small business owner. I'm a young farmer who owns and operates a small-scale vegetable farm in North Queens. Unfortunately, I'm somewhat unusual in the fact that I'm young, am a farmer, and have moved to Queens County. One of the reasons I've chosen the South Shore is there is a market for my produce. I also sell at the Lunenburg Market, which is year-round and continues to grow. I see the same potential for growth in Liverpool, but having the support of the municipality is an essential component of success. The proposed increase of the group vending fee makes it more costly for the market to operate, and we will have to pass these increased fees on to vendors. One great thing about the farmers market is that we serve as a business incubator, allowing entrepreneurs to try out a new business while keeping their startup costs low. If our operating costs rise, we will have to increase our table fees, which simply adds to the challenge already faced by new and existing market vendors. When a farmer's market is thriving, it is a benefit to other retail stores in the area. People are drawn to the area to visit the market, and then since they're already there, are more likely to do their shopping locally. In other words, the market is not a threat to other businesses in Liverpool, but rather we all benefit from having more local shopping options. Consultations happened with some of those affected by the fee increase, but the market was not informed of the proposed bylaw change until we tried to pay our fee for the season and were told that the fee would be increasing from $75 to $200. Given the steep increase in fees this bylaw proposes, I conclude that the bill should be revised so that the group vendor fee does not include the privateer's farmers market, and I'm hopeful that the town and the market can work together more collaboratively in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other member?
Mary White, 1022 Brooklyn Shore Road. I'm asking on behalf of Plant Lake, which I've been in front of the council and given presentations to before, and actually successfully got some headway last time, and we were told that we could possibly have some new lands. We're full at the garden. We have a waiting list. All our plots are full, and I'm asking at this point in time that we be allowed to excavate another 10 by 40 lot beside the garden that's already existing so that we can put in some more plots. I'm also asking that the council think about putting in some raised beds at Cobb Park, where I have been advised that at least six native families would like to garden. And lastly, I was wondering if we could have a raised bed or two down at the park, perhaps one for children as a demonstration recreation pool, and perhaps another one for older individuals who just want to garden while they're at the market. Other than that, I have one more thing to say. With regard to the Park Street issue that was brought up today, I'm wondering if we can solve that problem cheaply in the interim by putting some flags at the crossing walk. That's all I have.
Thank you, Mary, and I would, Mary, if I may, I would suggest that if you can make an appointment with staff early this week to discuss your plant to plate issues, we would like to be able to resolve that.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other members of the public gallery would like to speak this morning?
Bill Cox, 121 Bob Road, Blackpoint. Two issues this morning, Mr. Greer. One is in regard to item 9.0. I question the need for this initiative to bring in another layer of bureaucracy to deal with expenses. I feel that if this information is included in the quarterly financial statements that are available to the gallery and to the press, that should suffice. We have access to this information in advance and the opportunity to ask questions. doesn't want to have to display their linen in the public, then it just needs to be more careful in the expense that you're being put forward. But I question the need for this to have to be part of legislation. In my experience, going back to 1980, that's never been a problem in this municipality, and I don't think that it's necessary that we carry a big stick to tell small insect. That's my comments on that. The other one is in regard to item 13.1 on the vending bylaw. Page 3, item 4, it states that vending permits may be obtained for vending of the following categories, and I'm questioning why those items are being exempt when everybody else must or shall obtain a permit.
Thank you, Mr. Cox. And I would agree with you that the Region of Queens has been very diligent in its expenses in the past. Information has been provided on those expenses, but unfortunately within the province of Nova Scotia, there's been some municipal units that have not been quite so frugal with their spending, and the province has now decreed that there will be certain protocols in place. We are meeting those and will continue to meet those, and as well as other municipal units that perhaps were not meeting those. So we are obligated to follow the law, as you can well appreciate, and we will, and we'll continue to be very transparent in the expense area. Hopefully that's of help to you.
I knew that was going to be the answer.
No surprises then.
As I say, I've been around since MTV.
Yeah. Excellent. Any other members of the public gallery?
I wonder if there's any chance of a public discussion on the Queens County Rails to Trails Association.
The Queens County Rails to Trails did a presentation last council meeting. They briefed us on the actions that they're taking towards funding, towards engineering support. They're working towards hopefully finding some solutions later in this year and perhaps next year, working towards having the Trestle Trail Bridge open. At this point in time, that was the direction that they were pursuing, and we don't have additional information from them that we can release to the public. We will have updates later in the year.
Again, talking about the ATV Association, there is a need of policing on the Bob Road for these off-road vehicles. I was putting out my garbage last week for the cleanup day, and I almost got struck by a four-wheeler tearing up the road. I looked down the road, there was nothing in sight. And as I went to open my car door to get in, I just felt a squish, and it was very close to me because my door was open, and it was only probably from here to Councillor Fancy available between me and the ditch, and they proceeded to go through there. I did see two young persons who were wearing helmets and so forth. I could not see any license identification on the vehicle because it was moving. And if you're familiar with the Bob Road, from the end of the road to my driveway, it's a fair distance. And for them to cover that while I was at the curbside or sit around my car to open my door, it was moving. We very rarely see any type of patrol at all down there. We see the garbage man every couple of weeks and the odd delivery vehicle, but that's about all. But I would ask that maybe this would be a matter of discussion with the RCMP, to ask them if they come down there once in a while just to see if their presence is seen, and we may get rid of these vehicles that are excessive speed on that road.
Thank you, Mr. Cox. We can certainly have a discussion with the RCMP, and I would encourage any resident in Queens that may have a issue with illegal activity or unsafe action of any off highway vehicle, that the Department of Natural Resources in Milton or McGowan Lake can be contacted, who will put enforcement people in the area as well as the RCMP. It's always timely information that's effective. Okay, we'll move on from the public question and comment session. We'll move on to item 6, approval of minutes. Under 6.1, regular council meeting, April 25th, 2017, a motion to approve the minutes for that meeting would be in order. I move Deputy Mayor McLeod, a seconder for that. Councilor Fancy, any discussion? Are you ready for the question on the motion?
Question.
All those in favor? It's unanimous, thank you. Under 6.2, special council meeting, May 2nd, 2017, a motion to approve those minutes would be in order. Councilor Fisk, seconded by Councilor Frelick. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It's unanimous, thank you very much. I have nothing today under 7.0, dangerous or unsightly premises. Under economic development, we have 8.1, privateer days request. I would ask Joe Cruikshank to come forward if you would. And I would ask Councillor Kelly if you'd like to take the lead on this thing. 8.1.
As I talked before, do we get an amendment?
We would move the motion. We would take the information from Jill and then we would move to any amendments.
Okay. So I'll read it as it is here first. It is recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the request of Privateer Days Commission for the use of the region property as follows. Number one, Privateer Park, including the former Legion property from Tuesday, June 20th to Wednesday, June 28th, 2017. Number two, the old burial ground from Friday, June 23rd to Sunday, June 25th, 2017. Number three, the use of the Visitor Information Center, the VIC patio, for a viewing stand for the parade on Saturday, June 24th, 2017, with approximately five parking spaces in front being kept clear of vehicle parking for the duration of the parade. Number four, use of the Fort Point Lighthouse Park for the encampment between Friday, June 23rd and Sunday, June 25th, 2017. Number five, use of the floating dock near the VIC for the afternoon of Saturday, June 24th, 2017. Number six is the closure of Queens Place Drive and use of the overflow parking lot at the end of the cul-de-sac and the Queens Place Mirror Center parking lot from 9 until 11:30 a.m. Saturday, June 24th, 2017. Number seven, closure of Henry Henze Drive from Main Street Fire Hall to Legion Street from 7:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday, June 24th, and 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Sunday, June 25th, 2017. Number eight, closure of Main Street between Market and Old Bridge Street, one side open to Pharma Choice, exit through parking lot to church, on Friday, June 23rd, from 12 noon to 4 p.m., and that their request to have the washrooms at Fort Point Lighthouse left unlocked for the weekend will be forwarded to Lane's Privateer Inn for approval, and that their request for assistance with the delivery of waste management receptacles and picking tables as available on or before June 23rd, 2017, plus barricades provided for pickup are all approved, and all street closure requests referred to the traffic authority. And further, that the Council of the Region of the Queens Municipality waive Policy 58 to allow the consumption of alcohol on municipal property at Fort Point Lighthouse Park, Privateer Park, and adjoining former Region property from Friday, June 23rd to Sunday, June 25th, 2017, and that no liquor be sold, given away, or consumed prior to the Region of Queens Municipality being provided a certificate of insurance from the appropriate authorities confirming that at least $2 million of liability insurance is in place for the event, with the Region as an additional insured, and a copy of the in effect liquor license from the province of Nova Scotia is provided to the Region, and that all municipal, provincial, and federal laws be strictly adhered to.
Seconded for that motion? Councilor Fancy? Jill, would you like to give us a briefing on that?
Certainly. So this for new councillors is an annual request that we receive from Privateer Days. Not all of these items do normally come to council, but because of the magnitude of the request and to make it easier for Privateer Days, we help them by accepting it all as one ask, and it is useful for everyone to know the kind of support that we're giving to festivals of this size. This is broadly the similar as previous years, and the only difference is that there are some additional potential road closures of Main Street this year, and also the encampment is going to be at Fort Point instead of behind the Queen's County Museum where it was last year. So I was advised this morning of a small amendment to the requirement for the closure of Main Street, which it does go through the closures do go through the Traffic Authority, but just to amend it from 12 noon from 4 p.m. to 4 p.m. to 12 noon to 5 p.m. So I have a...
If
sorry?
We may, Jill will provide her presentation and then we will deal with any changes.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, 9, sorry. I'll go it wrong again. So I think that's really all I needed to say to you. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Jill. Any questions or comments or issues of councillors?
So now do you want me to put
this
forth the, I'd like to amend the recommendation, is it a friendly
this
amendment?
This is the time for that,
say,
please, Councillor.
From 12 noon until 9 p.m. on point number 8, closure of Main Street Market, between Market and Bridge Street.
So your amendment is in number 8, to amend it from 12 noon to 4 p.m. to become 12 noon to 9 p.m. A second for that motion, Councillor Moon. Any discussion on the amendment? Are you ready for the question on the amendment?
Question.
All those in favor of the amendment? It is unanimous. So now we are back to an amended motion as dealt with. Is there any discussion on the amended motion? Councillor Fancy.
I know this is totally wrong time to bring this up, but I'll bring it up anyway. We are making a request for a privateer road race to be able to, and so we're already sent something off to the RCMP, but it probably should have gone along with this. And again, I apologize for my we need the Henry Hansen to 7 o'clock, so we could be able to set up for the race.
And I think that would be a request that would come from a separate issue.
So that would be a separate, or do we try to do this, or we, I don't know, that's okay.
It would be operating separate from Privateer Days?
Yes.
Yes, I would say it would be a
okay, I didn't know if we could do it all together or not.
Well, either events are operating.
Yes. Discussion is open. Deputy Mayor McLeod?
I'm just saying, I think other events are operating separately that are included in the Privateer Days 3-day event. And they are included in this. So I feel that probably this could be included as well.
Okay. So noted. Councillor Bailey?
If I remember last year, we didn't need a road closure for the road race. We just went to the RCMP for that. But certainly it would cover it. If we amended it for 1/2 hour, it would make the process so much easier.
It would, because even the RCMP came there last year and said, no, you can't close this off. And it made things kind of difficult.
Yeah. If councillors are of the persuasion that they'd like to make another amendment, I'm certainly open to that. Would you like to make an amendment, Councillor Fancy?
Yes, let me find it here. Number 7, that I would like to make an amendment to say the closure on Henry Hensley Drive and Main Street, Fire Hall to Legion Street, be from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday, June 24th, and 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Sunday, June 25th, 2017.
Yes, so you want to change those times?
I just want to change the 7:30 to 7. That's
7 a.m.?
Yeah.
first portion of number 7, it would be revised from 7:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. to 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. That would be your amendment?
From 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., yes.
That would be the amendment.
Mm-hmm.
Seconded by Councilor Kelly.
Oh, sorry.
No.
I'm
looking for a seconder.
I'm
happy to
second, but I also have another.
I'm looking for a seconder to the amendment.
Second.
Okay, seconded by Deputy Mayor McLeod. Now it's open for discussion on the amendment. Councilor Kelly.
Oh, on that amendment, because I do apologize. I'm reading number 8 again, and the closures between Market and Old Bridge Street, and I'd like to make that court.
Well, that's a separate issue, so we're going to deal with this amendment
yeah,
first.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
So we're going to go back to the amendment from Councilor Fancy, and we're going to discuss this one. So anyone have any discussion on the amendment by Councilor Fancy? Are you ready for the question on the amendment? All those in favor of the amendment? It is unanimous, thank you. So now we will go to further discussion. Councilor Kelly.
Could I make an amendment between court? Because that includes businesses down at the...
And which item are we looking at?
Number 8.
Number 8.
Not Market to Old Bridge, but court. So that, that includes Oscar's, Pizzeria, businesses at that end of the street that want to partake in the essence of the...
I will allow you to make the amendment and then we'll discuss it because there may be issues with that amendment.
Yeah, sure.
So you're making an amendment under number 8 that Market be changed to Court Street?
Court Street.
To include Market as well? So it's Market, Court Street intersection of Main and Main?
Main Street to be closed from Court Street to Old Bridge Street.
Okay. Do we have a second to put that amendment?
I'll second.
Deputy Mayor McLeod. Ready for discussion on this issue? I'm having a question as to whether we're causing an issue to close Main Street from Market over to Court, where we have traffic flows in that area. Is there a staff person that would like to comment here on that?
I'm curious to find out what the request was that's been made to the Traffic Authority. I believe that the direction here, it's recommended that we approve the request to do all of this stuff, but that's, at the end of the day, the authority of the Traffic Authority, so they're going to need to assess that. So if council approves that, it still will go to the Traffic Authority. If we need further clarity or concern, we're able to deal with it there and advise back.
Councilor Kelly?
I just have knowledge that I think the last time we closed down Main Street in 2013, that was the closure from court, because you're only cutting off Market anyway. Now you're going to you're cutting off Carton Street. So that's all you're doing by going to Court Street is cutting off Carton Street. So.
Okay. So we have an amendment on the floor. We have a seconder for discussion. Any more discussion on the amendment by Councilor Kelly? Councilor Johnson.
I'm not tremendously aware of all the layout, but like you said, with the issue, does that not cut off emergency access to be able to detour, to be able to get up to the hospital?
Sure. CAO?
So again, we would have to review all those things with the Traffic Authority.
Okay. Any other councilor? Deputy Mayor McLeod?
I know, and if the Traffic Authority decides that should be the emergency route, which generally it is. The other businesses, I know Oscar's has an outside area where they have the tables, and I'm just hoping that maybe Pizzeria can do the same on that side, just in case they don't get that closure, that they may be able to participate in the events on the Main Street area. Just a thought.
Any other comments, councilors, on this amendment? So we have an amendment. Are you ready for the question on this amendment? All those in favor of the amendment? It is unanimous. We are back to the amended motion again. Any discussion on the amended motion? Are you ready for the question on the amended motion?
Question.
All those in favor of the amended motion? It is unanimous. Thank you very much. You're making me work up here, I can tell you. We we will now move on to 8.2, Privateer Farmers Market. Councilor Frelick, if you'd like to take the lead.
Thank you. It is recommended that the region, Council of the Region of Queens Municipality waive Policy 58 to allow for the consumption of alcohol on municipal property at Privateer Farmers Market to be held in Centennial Park on Saturdays from May 20th to October 7th, 2017, between the hours of 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. And that no, excuse me, and that no liquor be sold, given away, or consumed prior to the Region of Queens Municipality being provided a certificate of insurance from the appropriate authorities confirming that at least $2 million of liability insurance is in place for the market, with the region as named insured, and a copy of the in effect liquor license from the province of Nova Scotia is provided to the region, and that all municipal, provincial, and federal laws be strictly adhered to.
Seconder for that motion? Councilor Fisk. I would ask Jill if you'd like to give us a briefing.
Certainly. So the Privateer Farmers Market are again hoping to attract local alcoholic beverages for sampling and purchase at the market. And exciting to hear that there may be a local winery coming in as well this year. So this is a request that has to come to council for their exemption of our liquor policy. Was approved in previous years. But I do understand, I was made aware yesterday that the wrong date had been requested. It's actually going to be finishing on October the 14th, not the 7th, as had been requested. So just would ask if an amendment, sorry, Mayor, could be done for this motion too.
It would be timely then to have an amendment to this motion.
Can we just have a friendly amendment? Or you don't have to go
no, let's go through the formal process. Make it easy.
So can you read that again?
Yes, if you'd like to make an amendment, Councilor, for the dates.
I'll make the amended motion. Would you like me to read that now?
Just the change, which will be the date.
Okay. We're changing the date to October 14th, 2017.
Seconder for that amendment? Motion. Councilor Kelly? Any discussion on that amendment? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the amendment? And now we're back to the amended motion. Any discussion on the amended motion? Councilor Kelly?
I just want to ask a question about there was a sign for the farmers market over by Lanes, indicating, I guess, just before the bridge, right next to the bridge, and it's been taken down, and I wonder, I can't remember if it had the times on it or the dates or anything like that pointing to our farmers market here, but is it being fixed, or is there a reason why it's taken down? Do you know?
Well, it was the previous winter, it was stolen or vandalized during the winter months, so as the market wasn't operating in the winter, and it was a bit misleading to make people think it was on a Saturday in the winter. We took it down this year because we'd had to pay for a replacement last year. And right now we're getting some kind of a decal made to adjust the times to the new times for this year.
So that'll be
in place.
Yeah. For the day of earnings.
Yes.
Okay,
great. Deputy Mayor McLeod?
Jill, whether it's required for the market to have specific liability insurance and such, are they an organized association, a farmers market association, or is it just the individual vendors that are?
I think they apply for it as the privateer farmers market cooperative. So that covers, yeah.
Great, okay, thanks.
Any other questions or comments or councillors? Ready for the question on the amended motion? All those in favor? It is unanimous. Thank you. Thank you, Jill. We will now move on to 9.0 under CAO office. 9.1, Joint Municipal Accountability and Transparency Committee recommendation. Deputy Mayor McLeod, would you like to take the lead?
I certainly will. I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality adopt the recommendations contained in the March 2017 JMAT recommendation report. And JMAT means Joint Municipal Accountability and Transparency. Just for clarification.
A seconder for that? Councilor Fairley. CAO, would you like to give us a briefing?
Sure. So over the last year, there's been a committee struck with representatives from municipalities, Department of Municipal Affairs, and municipal administrators to look at transparency and accountability to the public, primarily related to concerns with regards to government expenses. As was said here earlier, there hasn't been an issue in the region of Queens or the previous town of Liverpool or county of Queens. However, the findings made a number of recommendations to require municipalities to post expenses online, strengthen our policies and practices. We already have a code of conduct, strengthen municipal audits and audit committees, and in most cases we have policies in place. There's a few tweaks to make with our policies. The major two big things here that we'll need to do is create a terms of reference and advertise for an independent member on the audit committee, as is typical with most municipalities in Nova Scotia. I'm not sure if it's most, but a lot of municipalities in Nova Scotia, I think it's most. It's the audit committee is typically council. So we will create a terms of reference for that committee, post for an independent member, and the expenses are now posted online on the council and mayor page on regionofqueens.com, and we'll continue to make a few more tweaks just to make sure that we embrace the best practices here, but generally our policies, procedures, and practices are such that our expenses are highly scrutinized, where council generally for town travel need to request approval from council before they do that. So as such, you'll see online our expenses are lower than most other municipalities with regards to those things.
Any questions or comments of councilors? Are you ready for the question on the motion? All those in favor of the motion? Thank you very much. We'll now move on to 9.2, Council and CAO expenses for information purposes, and I would ask our Director of Finance, Jennifer, if you just give us a few words on that.
So, as we mentioned earlier, the purpose of the committee was to increase transparency amongst all municipalities. So, they were trying to accomplish that consistency and comparativeness across municipalities. Yes, there's really nothing unusual or out of the way in these recommendations that the Region of Queens hasn't been doing. As far as eligible expenses and even the template for the expense claim form, it looks almost exactly like the form that we had been using all along. The approval of such would be signed off by either the CEO or Director of Finance, or councilors could have their child expenses signed off by the mayor. Even under the best practices, both the partner, those expenses are not permitted. We had never permitted those as well. Those were always have to be reimbursed if paid by. And the all credit card charges are actually all expense, travel expense claim forms have to be accompanied by receipts. And we don't reimburse anything that doesn't have a receipt attached to it. So I think the only thing that we were doing differently, and we did start doing that last year, was posting the expenses. So we were providing the table that we brought forward roughly around the same time as our quarterly statements were coming to council. We would provide the list of expenditures at the public council meeting. So that was kind of where our agendas and our minutes are then posted on our website. So we, you know, in essence, we're posting them on the website as well. But we will maintain an up-to-date table on our website as well, separate and apart from the information that we bring forward to council when we bring forward the statement forward.
Any comments or questions of councilors? Deputy Mayor McLeod?
Just a bit of information. I know in the list of the council expenses that are shown in the report that some of the councilors are on external committees that are out of the area. So, you know, there's a variation in some of their expenses. Mm-hmm. So that's a reason why some are not, some are Some live out of the required area for travel to meetings, so that's why some of those are more expensive than others. So it's hard to determine the balance of this, but I just want to explain that that's basically why there's a difference.
It's true. We mentioned that one time before, and that when we had posted them or accompanied the council agenda, that districts 1, 6, and 7 are quite a distance away from the council meetings, so obviously their mileage would add up a little quicker than some of the other districts. And then it's true, most of the majority of the expenses that are planned on here are really just travel mileage to and from committees and council meetings.
Councilor Fisk?
Just to talk on that subject, for one example, we all attended a meeting the other day downtown, and I would have had 4 counselors in my car to help the expense.
We travel whenever possible.
So, it certainly helps.
Thank you. Any other counselors? Thank you, Jennifer. We will now move on to 10, Engineering Works, 10.1, the verbal update from Brad Roder, Director of Engineering Works.
Just give a few minute update on our capital works, where we're at today with the projects that are on schedule. Main and School Street, that's our big one for this year. It's broken into various phases, not really phases, but components, depends on where on the project it is. I'll start with Main Street from Reese to Wentworth, and that's in front of the museum and so on. So on that one, the sanitary sewer, the water main, storm main are installed. The new water main is charged, chlorinated, and in use. The temporary services are disconnected with the new water and sewer services connected to the properties. The road base is constructed. The curb gutter and sidewalk installation begins this week. Once this section is done, that's the curb gutter and sidewalk, we'll look to pave that particular section of Main Street just to get the base coat in. That won't be the final coat, and that will go just past the museum. That way the gravel and all of the dust and all that won't be there all summer long. The other sections within that job, we probably won't have the opportunity to do an early base coat because it's within an active area and construction equipment would be traveling over and so on. It would just ruin the base. The other section of Main Street, and that would be from Wentworth to School. We finished that up in terms of the sanitary sewer force main, water main, and storm sewer last week, just on Friday. The water's still on a temporary service. The sanitary laterals are connected with the new main as it is encountered. The curb gutter and sidewalk, that will progress once we get in front of the museums and so on, and continue onward. Lower School Street, and that would be from the Stenpro Lands to Main Street, so that section of School Street just beyond Main. We're working at that this week, and it'll be installing that sanitary sewer and force main to the pump station. This will go relatively quickly, although it is within the tidal zone. We do have to work with the low tide, so we have to work a little bit odd hours there and work with the tide, so that's what you have to do in those kind of situations. That will lead into work within the Main and School Street intersection, which will further enable us to do the balance of the Main Street water main to be activated, chlorinated, and be fed to users on the balance of Main Street. Once that's done, we'll then move on to School Street, just uphill from the intersection on top of that big hill. At that point, the rate of progress will slow down, no doubt about it. There's a 16 to 18 foot cut on top of that hill, most of it in bedrock on top of that, because we have excavated on top of that hill before, so we know what's there. We'll eventually nibble through it and continue to meet up with the second crew that have been working on the upper end of School Street near the four-way stop. This upper section of School Street has been a little slow. There's been quite a bit of bedrock there on top of that hill going up to the four-way, but we knew that. We're currently, the sewer water and storm is installed about halfway to Kitty Lane from the four-way stop. The project, all in all, it's going well. It's on schedule and within budget, so no undue complications, what we expect. Skate park, work is continuing. The contractor's been back on site for about 4 weeks now, and we're scheduled for a mid-June completion and opening. Any extended wet period will have some impact, but don't anticipate any problems with openings or so on. Remaining to be done are some concrete aprons, the street section floor, the viewing stand, assembly and entrance ways and walks, electrical feed and supply, and of course landscaping. The job is going well, we're in budget, no problems. The bike park, that goes hand in glove with the skate park to a large degree. Activities continuing when and as weather conditions allow. We need relatively dry soils. The native soil in that area, including the imported fill that we're using, is a silty sand and it's very susceptible to moisture during construction. Once it's in place, it's not that bad, but while you're handling it, you have to be careful with the moisture level. Efforts will increase as temperatures and clear weather advances. On top of all that, the town hall roof, work will proceed on that once we have some more immediate priorities taken care of. That work, you know, and would be preferable, obviously, to take place during the summer during drier conditions. Any questions?
Councilor Kelly?
Well, first one, I guess, is one that heard of some kids that have been over on the skate park, and I'm assuming that you don't want anybody on the skate park, any part of it, until you're actually completed it, right?
There's the part that was done last fall, I mean, we talked of it in-house, that's a pretty low-risk area. It's called the flow section, and standing on the parking lot, it'd be on the far left-hand side. They're fine to skate on that.
Okay.
They're not going to hurt anything. The bowl itself,
right.
I heard there was some activity on that. I asked our supervisor to get a hold of the contractor and lay some obstructions in the floor so that can't be used.
Right.
Okay. The aprons aren't done yet.
Okay.
So.
Okay. It's good that we're getting action.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Okay, on Main Street then, you're saying that the BMX trail goes hand in hand with skate park, so again, that will be open in mid-June as well?
Yeah, and the bike trail, I mean, that's a work in progress over, you know, what, over the years. I mean, those kinds of facilities, you're always nibbling away at and improving it and
yeah.
So on. But a good core element, it's our goal to have that done the same time skate park is done. Because it's the same users to a large degree,
yeah.
and we really need those things to come together at the same time.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, moving on to Main Street, just really want to get a good idea of what's going to happen there.
Yeah.
The street, and I went down there on Saturday, and I noticed there's survey sticks along the side of the road. So is the edges, on the edge of the, I guess you would call it the east side, I'm not sure.
Riverside
but
or far side?
The part that currently, there's no parking spaces,
yeah.
But there's also no parking, there's no signs to say no parking. I know that they've been, cars park all along there, especially the people that live there park in front of their houses. But is the road going to be narrow so that now there will not be any possibility
sure.
of people parking
let,
there?
Let me explain how that all
yeah.
developed. I mean, that's been an ongoing situation where traffic on Main Street for considerable length of time, decades I would assume, have had to yield to oncoming traffic when you have cars parking both sides in sections. We discussed that at length, senior staff had. We discussed it with the traffic authority, and the traffic authority in turn discussed it with their senior RCMP members. The traffic authority came back to us, advised us to look at ways, which we endorse, to eliminate parking so that the traveling public, the motor, the cars, the vehicles, aren't forced in a situation where have to stop and yield to the opposing lane to come through because there's cars parked on both sides. So this was a way to move that out slightly, so that it's one lane to discourage parking on that side, so that it enhances what the road is meant for. The road is not a parking lot. The road is to convey two-way traffic, and the priority goes to two-way traffic. So we did discuss that at length.
So what's gonna, I mean, so it's gonna be built out, so is that gonna be a curb, or is that gonna
that
be,
would be
what
a curb.
It gonna look?
It would be a, anytime you go on a street where you have curb and gutter, sidewalk on one side, on the opposing side you have a curb and gutter, similar to Market Street where you have a gutter on one, well, I guess that's sidewalk on both sides, so that's a bad example, but it'd be a gutter, a concrete curb and gutter, right? And where we can, we would extend lawns a few feet out to that. If there are situations where the lawn can't be, we would put a small concrete apron on the backside. Right? And the supervisors on the job have been talking to each property owner extensively throughout.
Okay. So, and the only other question, I think it's the only one, and it's just, so do you have a timeline in your mind that your goal is to actually open up Main Street completely down to the fort once everything moves up to School Street?
That's within the traffic plan, and of course that was all endorsed by Traffic Authority. And I can't recall, Councillor Kelly, exactly how those phases go, right? The trick would be, because it's still, traffic will still not be able to come up School Street, right? So your traffic bound for the hospital, the RCMP area, we'd still have to sign a detour at Court Street to indicate that traffic needs to take that. The rest of the street, yes, will be opened up as soon as we can, right? But we can't completely eliminate that, because what'll happen is it'll take traffic all the way down to Fort Point, because it can't get up to School Street.
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
And really, I'm hoping that, you know, the access to Fort Point Lighthouse. So just give me, can you give me some sort of indication? Are we talking like beginning of June, maybe, that people will be able to drive all the way down to the lighthouse?
In and about that
period
of time, right? I mean, it's,
I
mean, we've got that one small section, like I say, from Stenpro into Main. A little bit of work in the intersection there. I say a little bit of work, it's fairly complicated, detailed work there. Then we're going to skip into School Street. Then it's just a matter of, you know, sidewalk, curb and gutter installed. Then it can be a little bit of asphalt put down so that we don't have to deal with potholes on that traffic pattern all the time. Then it will be opened up. But still understand that there's to be detoured signage to take you up to court.
Yes, perfectly understand you're going to be on School Street for some time.
Councilor Kelly,
I have one more. Come back to me.
Yes, Brad, the project's been well, and I know the residents there have, they said to me that they really appreciate the cooperation, again, of your staff, that they've been more accommodating, and, you know, it's a disruption, and it's something that everybody has to tolerate, but I just want to pass it on to you again, and I often say that.
I will to our supervisors, yes, thank you.
Please convey that also. When you're down on Main Street, and I know we've had an issue with that sharp turn of big vehicles going up School at that corner section there, is there going to be any, can there be any improvements to that once you get your new sidewalks in, or is there going to be any change?
I'll defer
that
question to our CAO, because it would be, that's that corner property. If the corner property remains as is, I mean, there's not much we can do there with that. So you can answer that one, Richard.
Property matter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So another question, and this is pertaining to this project there on Main Street as well. And I had an email, and I think a couple of others had emails as well. And they were, it was the touristy type of fire hydrants that we had that were painted like the orange rangers or the military, the privateer. There's one of the hydrants that was replaced in front of the Queens County Museum, and it just isn't the kind of design that the older ones were, if those are the older type. And they can't, they won't paint it because it doesn't take that same kind of image as it does with the other privateering type painted hydrants. Is it, like, why are they put in there? Is that a new design now, or is that an older design? Are these being designed hydrant?
It's our spec hydrant, I'll have to look to make sure that is the one that I intended to put in there.
Yeah.
But understand, of course, those old hydrant, those barrel heads had barrel heads, the hydrants had to come out.
Sure.
Right, okay. Because utility, the RQM considers them to be Taurus devices, but first and foremost, utility considers them to be firefighting devices, not Taurus devices. But I will look at that.
Would you work on that? That'd be great, thank you so much. And just one other question, and this is pertaining to our wonderful skateboard park. And we had a meeting last week with all council on a strategy building, and we were asked at that point, as councillors, what was our most proud moment of our tenure as councillors? And I had written down, and my most proud moment was when council supported the build of the skateboard park. And we had the public meeting, a general meeting that was held over at Queen's Place. And we had a lot of young people attend that meeting. And when the decision was made to support the skateboard park, everybody clapped and were excited. And I have to say, that was one of my, that's why I indicate it was one of my proud moments as being a councillor, to be able to support that. And I know that our community, the young people as well as our senior people, anybody in our community, would appreciate the fact that now these young skateboarders will have an actual home for their,
We had our base design, of course, we went to council for the recommendation to accept a proposal for the design. And we've made some improvements to that site as we've started construction and connectivity between the three elements, the street, the flow, the bowl, and then the viewing stand, and some landscaping upgrades. So it should be a pretty special spot, right, when we're all said and done.
Now in that area, I know you've added the bike trail, and now you have your skateboard park. Are we still retaining the sled hill in behind?
That's correct. That hasn't.
So is there an excess way into that? Because I know this past winter, when they were building the skateboard and the snow covered everything, a lot of people had a hard time getting to the hill. Will there be a consideration for some kind of road or walkway or something into that hill?
Well, I'll tell you, when we built, designed the parking lots off of Queen's Place, what I put there, if you noticed, that low back extends essentially from the corner of the parking lot all the way across there. So when that's said and done and the new skate park is installed, you can see there's a little kick up ramp on the end of the street section.
Mm-hmm.
That is, I left that there so that traffic can go directly off the parking lot into that sledding hill.
Okay.
As opposed to coming off the end of the cul-de-sac into that overflow area.
Right.
So I'd already considered that.
Okay. Does that get cleared?
If I may. I'm gonna move on to the next councilor.
Okay.
I'll come back.
Okay.
Councilor Johnson.
Yeah, first of all, the work and the schedule that you got, Brad, is really good, and that's a good news story. And I think it's really important that we build a communication strategy around this, answering a lot of the questions that Councilor Kelly had about schedule of street openings and when it's going to be open to the public. And a prime example of where I thought we could do a little bit better around that communication strategy was the removal of the trees at the Town Hall, which everybody speculated was going to be devastating. Pleasantly, I went there Friday night to the movie premiere, and you can barely notice it, barely notice them being gone. I think that's a piece that all the good work that you're doing, the comparisons that we've had around conversations between having your staff do the work and contractors doing the work, I think a big piece of a communication strategy, a positive communication strategy, could go leaps and bounds for us here. So.
Councilor Fisk?
Brad, just to continue on what Susan said, Councilor McLeod, on Main Street, I was to an event last evening, and they were very impressed with how the men were very kind and generous and taking groceries in their house if needed, and very psyched up for it. So you're doing a good job.
We make sure our workers know that they have
to
go the extra mile.
A good job.
But I didn't hear they were taking groceries in people's houses. All that.
Well,
that's new.
They gives you good brownie points.
They just want more cookies.
One more thing on Main Street. I understand that you're putting the curb on the one side of the Main Street. Will it still allow the residents in that area, if they have groceries, to park their car at the time and unload their car, and then remove the car from that area? Can they put the four-way flashers on?
So
they don't get a ticket, I guess, right? I mean, it's not parking. Now,
no,
it'd
no,
be
no,
like
no,
any
no,
delivery
no.
thing, Councillor Fisk,
yeah.
right? I mean, that's
yeah.
why I say, I mean, you have to be careful with that because sometimes that can be stretched into parking, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm going to defer that answer. Because it's not my question to answer, right?
Okay.
Because it's a parking issue.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Councillor Muse?
Skateboard park. I've been told some of the kids will be using the park from whatever. I was talking to the CAO about it last week. I thought it was a good thing until I got there and I watched the kids using the park. And there was a bunch of rebar sticking out everywhere because they were still doing construction. So the kids was in the one part of the skateboard place
yeah.
and coming up and falling in the rebar.
And that's...
And, you know, for insurance reasons, I don't know if that's a good
that,
thing for us.
And that's not a good thing. And that's what I had learned early last week as well. I will check to make sure those devices are put in because all you have to do is you have to just place something in the bottom of the bowl. And over winter, what we did is we just constructed basically just a quick and dirty little 2x4 framework screwed together so it physically couldn't be used.
That's right.
All right. And of course, they had to take that out before construction. But I'll check on that to make sure.
Yeah, the one bowl
make, yeah.
has a tarp, I think, with sandbags
yeah.
on it, so
yeah.
they can't use it.
Yeah.
But like I said, you know, I thought it was great until I
yeah.
seen them fall on that. And
yeah,
with the construction around there, I don't know if
that's
it's really
right.
safe to be used.
I agree.
Councillor Kelly?
Yeah, just one more point about Main and School. As you know, School Street extends beyond Main Street down towards Stenpro.
Yeah.
Is anything going to be done in that area? One of the residents had said something that she was told that possibly that's going to be repaved. Do you have to dig that up for any reason?
Yeah, that was in part of my talk that I gave, and it was a section that I spoke of. Where was it here? Basically what we're doing there, we're working at that this week, all right, and that shouldn't take very long, week and a half. We're putting in sanitary sewer and force main down to the pump station. If you look down at the end of that little short street
okay.
on the left-hand side, there's a pump station.
Right.
So that needs a new sanitary gravity line to it, and it needs a new force main. The storm was put in a few years ago, I'd say a few, 10, 15
right.
years ago. It was in fine shape right to the intersection. Of course, street will be paved with the rest of it, you know, with the entire job when it's done.
Okay.
Deputy Mayor McLeod, did you have one more question?
The only question I meant to ask was continuing on the skate, on the clearing of the snow for that little area going from
yeah.
this park up to the hill, Sled Hill. Can that be cleared in the winter
yeah.
time?
And like in years gone by, we used that as overflow, that whole corner for storage of snow. And with that asset that will be there now, I mean, we'll have to re-examine how we plow that whole area, really, right now. So,
yep.
Yep.
Thank you. Any other councillors? Well, thank you, Brett.
Thank you.
Very appreciated.